All righty. When is the last time you proverbially put your foot down on something or somebody?
I only did it once with my wife, and that was it.
Darn right.
You only do that one time.
I don't even dare to try with mine. She's from the south side of the kingdom of God, and they pack some serious Jesus juice down there. It's like South Chicago, right, boo? All right, so who's ever had to get firm with your dog or cat? I know she does constant, lay down, lay down. What about with kids? Had you had to, as a parent, that you, when they were younger, it's like, I remember my ex-wife, one, two, don't let me say three, because then you're going to time out, right? Have you ever thought about, and I'm sure some of us do, do we ever think about putting our foot down with the devil? If we haven't, why not? Devil's under our feet, and that's where we're supposed to keep them. What's that?
I have to remind him of his future.
That's right. Okay. Understanding and walking in our exousia. Greek word, exousia. Let's open our Bible to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. Very important to do. Understanding our exousia. Who would like to read verse 12, please, of John chapter 1? Okay.
Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Okay, there you go. He gave the right to become the children of God. Who has the King James Version? Doesn't it read the power?
Yeah.
Power, right? Right is actually the more accurate translation. You can use power, but the right speaks of, number one, privilege, exousia. That's the Greek word exousia. Let me write that again. Speaks of right, privilege, and authority. Who would agree with me that it is a right to be a child of God? Who would agree with me that it is a privilege? You know, people who run around saying we're all children of God, it's not what the Bible reads, does it? In fact, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, please. And I always like to turn to this verse to do away with the culture's definition of a child of God. Just because you're human with breath in your lungs does not make you a spiritual child of God. Well, you're mean, Pastor Joe. No, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be biblical. Verse 10. Who would like to read verse 10, 1 John 3?
In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother.
So what two spiritual families are there on planet Earth? What two spiritual families? The children of God and the children of the devil. Didn't Jesus say in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil? In fact, let's turn there so we can read it. I'd rather you turn there, get acquainted with these verses. I'm sure a lot of us already know these. This is basic Bible. John 8:44, please.
You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Thank you. Very good. So there are two spiritual families on planet Earth. Those who have been given the right to be able to be called the sons of God. We all agree here tonight that just because a person calls themselves the son of God, or some do run around saying, I am the son of God, or they consider themselves children of God, unless they have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them God gave the right, the privilege, the authority to be called children of God. Yes or no? Yes. Not just any Tom, Dick, or Harry can claim the title child of God unless they know Jesus personally, have received him in their lives as spiritual leader and forgiver of their sins, okay? All right, but notice, we would all agree, yes, it's a right, it's a privilege to be a child of God. In fact, 1 John chapter, I want to say 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called what?
Children.
The children of God. Who would like to read that passage? I think it's 1 John 3, 1. Thank you.
How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God.
There you go.
And that is what we are.
And that is what we are. So it is a designation that can only be bestowed by God through Christ, right?
Yeah.
Another human cannot consider you a child of God. That designation comes strictly from God through Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, but notice, it also speaks of authority. Authority. Okay? Let me illustrate authority. I'm sure... What part of a cop designates authority? I don't mean power, authority. The badge, very good. The badge. There was a wreck not long ago. I think you saw the car in the ditch there at the Mawiqua Blacktop, the intersection right across the street from Casey's. And the state police was there. When I had gone there, I was driving to Casey's to get some water for me to go take to the gym. And they were directing traffic. And the guy's like holding his hand up to me saying, wait. And then the traffic was cleared. And then he said, okay, you can come on through. Who would agree with me? I mean, that guy was tall. He was muscular. But he was not strong enough to stop my car, right? But if I decided to run over him, how many of us know that he has the authority to apprehend me and throw me behind bars? And who agrees with me that the entire state would back him up because of the badge? Church family, we have authority in Christ. We have spiritual authority in Christ. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, please. I'm going to read verse beginning with verse 16, verses following, or verse 15 rather. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a couple of things. Number one, the spirit of wisdom. Number two, revelation in the knowledge of him. Who could use more spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus? And it's not talking about just meaningless facts in the brain. It's talking about intimate knowledge of Christ. Greek word epignosis, which means correct knowledge. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So we're going to see what our calling is and what our inheritance is, okay? Keep those two things in mind, calling and inheritance. And what is the, and here's the third one, to understand the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of God's mighty power. And he's going to illustrate that in the verses following. The working of God's mighty power, verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at God's right hand in the heavenly places, far above, let's all say far above, all principality. How much principalities? All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So let me ask you this question. What is Christ's position? What?
Power?
Yeah, isn't he at the right hand of the Father? Doesn't it say this? Isn't he seated at the right hand of God? Far above, how much authority, how much power, how much dominion, how much? All power, all dominion. Isn't that where Christ is? None of us have a problem believing that until we get to chapter 2. And then that's when we begin to think, who would like to read verses 4 through 6 of chapter 2?
Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him.
I like the New King James Version. It says, raised us up together. Together with whom? With Christ. And made us sit, and again, the word together, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So let me ask you this simple question. If Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and if he is far above all authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, and if we're seated together with Christ, doesn't it stand to reason that we as well are far above all dominion and all power and every name that is named because we are seated together with Christ?
Amen.
Thank you.
He is still on the right hand and we are seated also on his right hand.
That's right. So we are seated with Christ far. We are all, as believers, far above all authority and dominion and every name that is named and every power. Who believes that?
Amen.
Wrap your spiritual teeth around. Sink your spiritual teeth on that. How many of us would live differently if we really, really, really believed that that kind of authority has been vested in us by God through Christ? Isn't that our spiritual badge? How many of us know that sometimes with the authorities, we call them the authorities, law enforcement, the badge is not enough? There are some bad dudes out on the streets, and they themselves need something to enforce the badge. What is it?
The gun.
The gun. The gun. The badge is the authority. The gun is the power. Okay? Go with me to Acts chapter 1. Who would like to read verse 8 of Acts 1?
After
yes,
the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Very good. That word power is not the word exousia. I keep erasing it, so let's write it again. It is the Greek word, what is it, Scott? Power. Dunamis. Acts 1:8. It is miracle working power. We can read the second half of Mark 16. And it says, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore into all the world, make disciples, or preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes is saved. Whoever does not believe is damned. And these signs will follow you who believe. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name you will drive out demons." Isn't that what it says? In my name you will. Let's just look at it. Mark 16. I'm giving you all the scriptural spade words so you don't think this is made up. I know Scott and Pastor Wayne know this. I know some of you here definitely know this. Who's thankful for the Word of God and who's thankful for your spiritual authority in Christ? Amen. How many of y'all know that some of us have had to use it in a lot of areas of life? And how many of y'all know if you've had to use authority, your spiritual authority, you are of all people most grateful that you have that authority? Amen? I mean, we're not helpless little ducks. Here we go. Verse 15, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will do what? Recover." Now, some people have taken these verses to the extreme, to the point that they tempt God with them by handling rattlesnakes. How many of y'all have seen documentaries of those people? They're backwoods people in the foothills of Kentucky or Arkansas for that matter. Oh, wait. She's like, "Don't talk about me in your sermons anymore." Tennessee. And some people get bit, and by the mercy of God, they survive. Others don't. These are not a license to tempt the Lord with. It's not a license to drink something deadly and expect to survive, okay? Now, why am I saying all this? This is the power. This is your gun. Your spiritual gun. This is your spiritual badge. Exousia, your badge. Dunamis, your gun. Okay, how are we supposed to walk in this authority? Go with me to Matthew 4. Let's look at Jesus, our example. Again, who would like to read verses 8 through 11? 8 through 11, Matthew 4, please. Miss Kiki, would you read those? Por favor. Chapter 4, verses 8 through 11 of the Gospel of Matthew.
"Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him."
So how did Jesus exercise his authority? What did he say? With the power of the scripture. But he said, he spoke directly to the devil, didn't he? Didn't he say, "Away with you, Satan"? Or the King James Version, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Right? So that is how we exercise authority over the enemy. Through scripture? Yes, always. Always through scripture. Listen, you will lose every battle you try to fight the devil with reason. A positive mental attitude without the scripture is not strong enough to combat the devil. Can I get a witness? The devil only pays attention to one thing, and that is the living sword of the Word of God. The two-edged sword, he pays attention to that. He heeds that word. He is afraid of that word. Okay? Go with me to Jude. Who would like to read verse 9? Jude verse 9. It's only one chapter. The entire book is one chapter. Jude verse 9.
But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you."
The Lord rebuke you. Now, why would an angel, Michael the Archangel, say, "The Lord rebuke you," instead of saying, "I rebuke you"? Do angels have the authority that believers do? No. How many of us know that when we walk in the authority of Jesus Christ, that's greater than any of his servants, the angels, have? Right? Okay? We are co-heirs with Christ. What he had in this life, we have. So number one, Scott mentioned the Word of God. That's our weapon of God. We'll come back to this, okay? Very important. Number two, the name of Jesus. Who would like to turn to Philippians chapter 2? Would someone like to read verses 9 through 11? Please, Mama Jans.
Therefore, God also is highly exalted, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Notice, above how many other names is the name of Jesus? All names. So when we rebuke the devil, and we can rebuke the devil directly, can't we? We can. We're not angels, we're children of God. Remember, we have that right. He has given us the name of Jesus. Didn't Mark 16 say, "In my name you will pray for the sick. In my name you will speak new tongues. In my name you will drive out demons." Right? I'm going to flesh this out with a few stories, but listen, it's got to be ingrained in us that when we use the name of Jesus, we are exercising his badge, his authority, not our authority. The devil does not fear the name of Mark Zuckerberg. I don't either. I have my life without Facebook or Meta, whatever it is now, is mega peaceful. No things can be misunderstood if I have no post that exists, right, Mr. Genius? I don't need those kind of clashes and complications in my life. Okay, so anyway, the devil will only respect one name, and that is the name of Jesus. Period. Okay? So let's go first to the Word of God. Do you realize that I'm going to erase this because I've got to write a lot of stuff. I hope you guys are writing down notes. Okay, what can I exercise my authority over? Number one, thoughts. Number one, thoughts. Who's ever had horrible thoughts? I'm going to use an illustration. I remember when I was at a chapel service my senior year at ORU, I was worshiping God and just caught up in the moment in the presence of God. And then all of the sudden, because my focus was truly on the Lord. All, you know, understand, I was a young 24-year-old kid. And at 55, you don't feel the urges that you did when you were 24. That's all I'll leave it at, okay? And so I was worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, all of these vile thoughts begin to pour into my brain. But let me ask you a question, a simple question. Was that the Lord flooding my mind with all those vile and evil and sinful thoughts? Lustful thoughts? No. Who was it? The devil. So am I just going to stand there and say, well, I don't know what to do? Or do I say, in the name of Jesus, be gone? It's okay to speak to the devil, isn't it? I think some of us need to learn how to talk to the devil. And I don't mean in a pleasant way. I mean, you need to get your game face on and get gritty in his grill and say, be gone, Satan, in Jesus' name. Some of us do it. I do it. You know, okay, so thoughts. How many of y'all know that, you know, almost over, it's about a year and a half ago that I taught on dreams. Remember when on Sunday mornings we did all those series on dreams, and I said that when you have attacks by the enemy will try to attack us in our dreams with horrible dreams to try to frighten us, won't he? And I said, when you wake up in a frightful dream, you must take authority over that bad dream. Don't just take it on the chin as a believer. You have every right to say, in Jesus' name, I am done with that dream. I rebuke that dream. It is not of God. If it inspires fear, church family, it is not of God. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay? So thoughts was number one.
Can I say something?
Please.
I think Scripture also says that it's our responsibility.
Very good. Exactly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Great scripture. Okay. It says we are to take every thought captive and submit it to the obedience of Christ. Right? We don't just... I think sometimes some believers are so passive, they just let thoughts, the enemy, just run all these thoughts. And these people are like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Take authority over those thoughts and begin to speak the word of God. Hello? Right? Some of you are looking at me like, huh?
Well, I'd like to add...
Please.
One thing.
Yes, sir.
All this is good, it's wonderful, but some of us don't take advantage of what's available to us. And I said all that to say this. There is different degrees of faith.
Yes.
That's the only variable.
Right.
Is our faith.
Yes, sir.
And we are limited.
Right.
By our lack of faith.
Yes.
We read where it says do this and do that.
Right.
But I don't do it because my faith is weak.
Right. That's true.
It has to be a high level of faith.
Yes.
To exercise some of these things.
It is. But how many of y'all know that there's that prayer that Jesus honors? I believe, help my unbelief. Right? Matthew chapter 17. Right? I think Jesus honors honest.
Well, that's where they failed, and they asked him why they failed.
Right.
And he said, because of your lack of faith.
Right.
That's when they said,
right.
Help our unbelief.
Right. Jesus said, this unbelieving generation, how much longer must I put up with you?
Well, the Bible was holding up Abraham as an
right.
example
right.
of faith.
Right.
And it said he wasn't weak in faith.
Right. Absolutely.
But was strong in faith.
Right.
And so everything came about because he was not weak in faith.
Right. Absolutely.
The thing that impresses me about that the most is that is the only variable.
Yes.
God is God.
Right.
The Word is the Word.
Right.
The only variable is the degree of faith.
Yes, sir.
So that's something we need to work on.
Right. Absolutely. Very good. Number two, temptation. Isn't that when Jesus exercised his authority with the devil? Didn't he say, away with me, Satan? When we feel the pressure of temptation, take authority over the enemy. That does not mean that we'll cease to be tempted. That just means that we're putting our foot down spiritually. And yes, we might have to continue withstanding But how many of y'all are thankful that temptations blow over? God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, right? Okay. All right, so temptation is another one. Another one, the attacks of the enemy. Attacks of the enemy. My wife discovered soon, this is not a bad illustration, babe. Soon after she gave her life to the Lord and started getting her life right with God, and we started dating, that some of her kids' love interest begin to attack her for her faith. They begin to say, well, you used to be this person and now you're all Miss Goody Two-Shoes or something like that, right? Am I exaggerating? You felt the attacks, didn't you? Those are attacks of the enemy. But how many of y'all know that after you walk with the Lord, those don't bother you anymore? You know, if someone came up to me and say, well, that's not the person you used to be back as a sophomore in high school.
Praise God.
Exactly. That person's dead. Right? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Or how about when, and this is one of the, trust me, I've spoken to so many pastors, and they say that if you don't want your name to be maligned, don't go into ministry. Some people get crazy. There was this fake Facebook page that was created, and they started teeing off on me. I don't know why me. They didn't seem to bother the other pastors in town. But like I would take a trip. Some of these suckers were stealing my photos from my account. I had to up the security on my account after that. Stealing my photos and posting them on their fake Facebook page. Like I went to, in 2014, I went to run a marathon in El Paso, Texas. My friend who had given his life to the Lord, gosh, he almost OD'd twice. Very interesting. The year that I went off to be at Oral Roberts University, all of my Bad Company friends, before I became a Christian, drugs were introduced to our community. And the guys that I grew up with, they started doing, because, you know, the we call it the barrio, the ward that we lived in El Paso was called Sunset Heights. So they would put cocaine in the shape of a sunset and then just start snorting it. These were some of the kids I grew up with. Thankfully, by the grace of God, I was in Tulsa with a laser beam focus on getting my education so I can pursue my calling. How many of y'all would agree with me that that's the grace of God? Right? So anyway, I went down to see my friend Charlie. Well, he's got a fleet of nice cars. And my wife, my ex-wife, took a photo of me kind of going like this with the deuces in front of the Mercedes-Benz, posted it on my Facebook wall. Well, these cats, these anonymous cats, took that photo off of my wall, and I don't know how they got to it to this day. I don't know. And they put it on their Facebook page, and then they put the words, "See, suckers, this is where all your tithes and offerings are going to." That wasn't even my car. And then that was in 2012. In 2013, that's when I got to run the Boston Marathon. But a Starbucks in Pekin, that's when I used to go to when we lived in Mason City, they decided to sponsor me, and a car dealership did too. So they bought me these $200 running shoes. I'm not going to spend that much money, but, you know, it's a Boston Marathon. So I put them on, I had an Instagram account. I put them on Instagram and I said, look, a sponsor. They took it off and they're saying, this pastor is ripping off his church. And they would put the price of the shoes, $200. I'm like, that's laughable. The last comment I got was in that Facebook account that is on lockdown now. And I, like I said, I don't miss it. This guy with a fake account, a fake photo, messaged me, and he was calling me all kinds of horrible things. I can't quote some of the things he said to me, but he repeated a word often saying that I was a coward. I said, you know what? My Facebook account, this was 2 years ago, my Facebook account has my photo. My Facebook account has my name. I said, who's a coward here with your fake photo and your fake account? I'm telling you, the devil likes to attack. Yoo-hoo!
And he don't have to be fair about it either.
He doesn't play fair. He doesn't fight fair. Interesting. And like I had that one crazy woman, never met her in person, never met up with her, never held her hand, never saw her in person. I just said, no, I'm not going to go that route. And the attack came. I remember talking to a friend that said, you might want to move out of town and begin a new life. And I said, you know what? No, I'm not. I'm going to stick my ground. If I was guilty, I would probably pack up and move out. But I said, I'm not moving out because I did not do what she claimed I did. Yoo-hoo! How many of y'all know that you better be understanding your authority when that happens? And you need to start putting your foot down. You got to know your authority, church family. Like Pastor Wayne said, he doesn't fight fair. Yes, sir.
Greater is he that is in me.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Greater is he that is in me.
Yes.
That's right. Absolutely. So, attacks. Who's ever been attacked by the enemy?
Everybody.
Do we take authority over stuff attacking our bodies?
Sure.
I have. You know what? Well, I was sicker than a dog, and COVID made me the sickest I've ever been. I remember just walking out on the porch just to get some clean air because I was so weak I couldn't move out of that dead gum chair. And I was just trying to breathe in what little I could breathe. I was saying, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Every other indication didn't seem like I was healed by the stripes of anybody, but I believed I was, right?
Right.
All right. Any questions, any thoughts, any comments?